Welcome to MLB Daily, your one-stop shop for daily baseball content. I am LJ LaFura. Alongside me, I've got Brandon Karam, and we are a Belly Up Sports podcast. We are what they aren't. Brandon, how are you doing?
LJ, I'm doing good. Nice to be sitting down and recording today, as always. I got on some College World Series elimination games here in the background. Very entertaining. Been trying to catch as much of the College World Series as possible. But yeah, the Yankees first to 50 wins. That was a very entertaining game last night. Gerrit Cole did his best to shut up LJ. So yeah, doing good.
That is the fastest to 50 wins since 2001, correct?
Yep, since the 2000.
Things went pretty well then, right?
Sorry?
Things went pretty well then, right?
Yeah, for the Yankees that year, absolutely. They beat the Mariners, yeah. We don't need to talk about that World Series, but yeah, they did indeed beat the Mariners.
They did indeed beat the Mariners. Didn't go well for the 50-win team, though, but that's okay. We have, the point being here, as he mentions, Gerrit Cole, we have our AL Cy Young picks here today. Brandon, why don't we just go ahead and jump on in, unless there's something else I'm completely forgetting that you told me you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't think so. There wasn't really any interesting news to come out in the last day, other than actually one quick thing. The Rays put two outfielders on their IL. Manny Margot and Kevin Kiermaier both hit the injured list after last night's game. They call up one infielder, Jonathan Aranda. He will make his major league debut. And also Luke Raley, who spent some time with the Dodgers last year. Manny, there is some people that fear Manny Margot tore his ACL. Others are saying knee sprain, but yeah, Margot got carted off the field in the top of the ninth inning, and then Kiermaier left the game during the second inning, and they're saying that that's some kind of inflammation in his hip. But a team that's already down Mike Zunino, Brandon Lau, and Wander Franco now loses two of their starting outfielders. That's five starters right there. Not to mention all the pitchers that are down for them as well.
Yeah, and that's been a recurring problem all year that they've barely been able to overcome. This is a tough time to be a Ray. This is a scary time to be a Ray because who's next? But it's also a tough time to be a Rays fan for sure. It's funny, you know, though, it's like we were just talking about this yesterday, were we not? How tough a situation they were injury-wise, and it just keeps getting worse. But back on the Cy Young conversation here, Brandon, do you want to start off by talking a little bit about your criteria? We've got tier lists for all of these. So talk about your tiers and what particular stats, what were you looking for to decide who went in what tier?
Yeah, sure. So for those who have been following our tier lists and these shows we've been doing over the last few weeks, I do my tiers pretty interesting. I have three tiers. The first tier is always the guys that I believe can actually win the award, and that can range between three and five guys. To be honest, there's going to be a last second decision made as to exactly how many go in my first tier in a few minutes. But yeah, we have the guys that can actually win the award. Secondly, we have the guys that could win, but would need a lot to go right for them. And then my third tier is always the guys that probably have no chance of winning but are having good seasons, and I feel like they should be talked about, just some more under-the-radar guys usually. Stats I'm looking at, definitely Fangraphs WAR. I think that especially for pitchers, Fangraphs WAR is better than Baseball Reference WAR. It's just calculated a little more sophisticatedly. Yeah, there you go. I'm not gonna try to say that.
It's calculated with more sophistication.
Yes, there we go. Calculated with more sophistication. Fangraphs WAR over Baseball Reference WAR for pitchers. I also like to look at stats like FIP, SIERA, just stats that kind of
Do you want to talk about what those actually are rather than just flaunting your knowledge and looking like a bigwig?
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez, I'm getting flamed out here. Okay. Yeah. SIERA, Skill Interactive Earned Run Average. You can find this on Fangraphs. And this is right from the MLB.com website, their glossary. Basically, it's an ERA metric that tries to eliminate factors that a pitcher can't control by themselves. This also adjusts for balls in play, which FIP does not adjust for, as FIP just looks at your strikeouts, your walks allowed, and your home runs allowed, as those are the three things that you have control over. SIERA is also looking at whether or not it's a grounder, a pop-up, or a line drive. And this allows for a little bit more of an accurate calculation for how good a pitcher has been when you take away the factors that they can't control by themselves, as there is really a lot of stuff that is going on that the pitcher doesn't have control over. So not that that is my end all be all stat, as I'm looking also at just like general ERA, FIP, which is fielder independent pitching. Also like strikeout to walk ratio, I think is important as well.
Well, I took, I go four tiers, of course, the leaders, the contenders, the Peloton, and the outside looking in. And as Brandon kind of took a full body of work approach to this award, I take more of a game-to-game approach and see how you're winning and losing your team games directly. And so basically the way I did it is I always start, write down as many guys that I think should be in the running as I can. And then from there, I go and check some of the major benchmark numbers that people usually talk about. Not necessarily advanced stats, but the ERA, pitching war, championship win percentage added. Brandon's going to kill me, but for the sake and the respect, out of respect for the award and its tradition, wins. Just to give yourself a baseline to see who should really be in this conversation. Then I turn to our own created little metric here, which is basically, I'm not going to talk about it in terms of the actual ratio, but it's the ratio of great starts to blow up starts for based on your caliber of pitcher. Like as a Cy Young contender, as a Cy Young winner, you need to be able to go out there and have clutch games where you dominate and you go out and put your team in a terrific position to win a lot. And you have to also have very little to none of those games where you put your team out of it. And so if we're talking about numbers based here, a great start is now also being called a Sandy Alcantara start, as Brandon was saying yesterday. Seven innings, two earned runs. Anything within that margin gets counted as a great start to me. Any outing of four runs or more gets counted as a blow-up start. Doesn't matter how many innings, if you allowed four earned runs, you put your team in a bad spot. And so basically that's kind of, because those numbers lie. The common numbers, the ERA, even the SIERA, I'm sure, lies to you a little bit. Pitching stats aren't as hard as fielding stats to develop, but it's a lot harder to see the pure picture of a pitcher with those compared to OPS for a hitter. So that's why justice is the hammer of justice I have, and the hammer of justice is blind. That's why I go entirely with this one stat, not looking at any of the other outside factors after they get those factors get you in the door.
Interesting. Okay. I like how we take a different approaches to it, as that's what just leads to better content in general. I mean, it would suck if we were sitting here with essentially the exact same lists. The fact that we don't even do the same amount of tiers, I like also, but into it?
I'll go ahead and start, and I'll do my first two tiers because my two tiers are basically Brandon's first tier. And I can't believe I'm saying this. For those of you who haven't followed or missed that episode, we have had a Martin Perez check-in scheduled for a little over a month for this Thursday. I was sure he was going to be out of the Cy Young conversation by this point. Brandon, as my Cy Young leader, I have no other choice other than to go with Martin Perez.
He's your number one guy.
He is my top choice right now because of the value he's adding to his team. 2.7 WAR, 2.10 ERA, 4-2 record over 81 innings, and looking towards the MLB Daily Cy Young statistic, he has a 6-1 start ratio. So he has 6 starts where he has gone 7 innings and 2 earned or less, and only 1 blow-up start. And I believe that was 2 weeks ago was the first time that happened. And this is all with him, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, his first month, he barely went over 5 innings. Like, they weren't trusting him to go deep early on. Yeah, 4-4, and then his first 2 were 4, and then all of a sudden they start letting him go out to 6-7. And then now this last month, you're really starting to let them ride him out there and see what he can do. And he's really not disappointing.
Certainly not. Did you want to keep going with your first 2 tiers?
Yes. I'm going into my next tier to the guy that, you know, I'm giving this award out like I was picking it right now. If this was the end of the season, Martin Perez is the Cy Young. Projecting out, it's Shane McClanahan. 7-3 record over 84 innings, 2.5 WAR, and a 1.81 ERA. He currently is sitting at a 4-0 ratio right now. So 4 great starts, no blow-up starts to start the year. His biggest hindrance is the fact that he plays for the Tampa Bay Rays, which is also his greatest asset.
No run support. No run support.
It's not even just no run support, because the guy's getting 7 wins. But it's more the fact that it takes a special player like him to get them to consider leaving you out there more than twice through the order. So, you know, he had to fight and scrape and claw to get into a position where he can get to 7 innings. He's not getting deep enough in these starts to have gotten him to the lead right now. But the Rays are starting to open him up, let him go, let him cook over these last month or so. And if they continue to do that throughout the rest of the year, he's bound for it based on his performance so far. Like, just the added time, the added innings will go a long way for him.
So you have.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep getting distracted. So Martin Perez is my leader. Shane McClanahan is my first contender, and Nasty Nestor Cortez at a 4-1 ratio. I'll let Brandon talk more on him, but 4-1 ratio to start for Nestor Cortez. And the only reason I'm not favoring him over McClanahan to go forward is there's not that clear opportunity, I think, for him to improve. Like, this is a great level he's playing on right now, but it's probably his peak. Whereas if Shane McClanahan gets more opportunity, he's going to continue to improve.
Absolutely. All right. Should I take us through my first tier? Yep. It is 5 players.
Five.
Ooh. However, I have 1 leader, as LJ did as well. Top of the tier, guy that I believe is in the best situation right now to win the award is Shane McClanahan. You're looking at an SIERA that is about, I can't believe I'm saying this, about 0.6 better than the next best guy, which is Gerrit Cole, who is not in my first tier of 5 players. But yeah, Shane McClanahan, you're talking about already 113 strikeouts through 14 starts, which, oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. It's about 8 strikeouts per start. That's not bad. And when he's pitched against the Yankees, he makes us look like fools. Other than the Anthony Rizzo homer last night, you really can't do much out of this guy. It's so nasty. Being a left-handed pitcher, that arm slot is filthy. The fastball is unbelievable. Just the amount of movement he has on all his pitches. And once the Rays get Glasnow back and fully healthy, like, oh my, this is going to be really scary. But Shane McClanahan, easily my leader. The four behind him, we have two Blue Jays, Kevin Gausman and Alek Manoah. We have Martin Perez and we have Nasty Nestor Cortez. I will comment on Nestor Cortez, just an unbelievable story. The way that he's been pitching this season is just fantastic for the Yankees. He keeps us in so many games. It's not just that low ERA that's so good, but even when he has his starts where it's only like getting us into the sixth inning, it starts where we could have really used it. He ends up pitching on most days, it seems, where we have almost no guys out of the bullpen available, or certainly limited pitchers out of the bullpen available. He'll go out and give us seven innings, give us eight innings, and just so much fun to watch pitch. He's not just a strikeout guy, but he does have 75 this year, which is certainly an uptick from what he's been doing in years past. And yeah, just love watching him pitch night after night. He's actually pitching tonight against the Rays, so I get the pleasure of that.
That's fantastic. Do you want to keep going into your second tier, or you want me to take over?
I'll throw it back to you, because I have a feeling you're going to be talking about quite a few guys that's on my list here.
Yep. Moving into the Peloton, the first guy, a guy I wasn't expecting going into this list to fall to the Peloton, Justin Verlander, ends up being put into the Peloton here with a 5-2 ratio, 5 great starts, 2 blow-up starts, and, you know, it's really missing. It's splitting hairs here when you're talking about probably the difference of a run. But in most situations, am I wrong? What's the average scoring pace for a team right now? Do we know runs per game?
I will look it up in 1 second.
Look it up, because I'm willing to guarantee you it's probably not 4. Like, it's not normal. Like, it's not the can't be the average to go 4.5, let's say, is really more the thing. But my point being, if you're giving up
4.32 last year, it was 4.53.
Okay. So it's not 4.5. Either way, if you, as the starter who's not going the full game, are giving up 4 runs, you're largely taking your team out of the game. Either way, this is another terrific season out of Justin Verlander. 1.5 WAR and an 8-3 record with a 2.30 ERA to start the year. The dude just cooks. He's coming back from injury, and everyone wants to see this feel-good story out of Justin Verlander, who basically missed 2 full seasons and is now coming back with a vengeance. I'd love to see him win the award. It's just a matter of the rest of the group really coming back to the pack. He honestly probably could have, should have been in my contenders list as I'm talking about him. I'd probably put him up there now. And so that leaves us with 2 Peloton members, the first of which being Jameson Taillon. Absolute wins maestro this year, 8-1 record, 2 WAR, 2.70 ERA, and he currently sits at a 3-1 ratio. You know, I knew this Yankees rotation was solid. I wasn't expecting there to be 3 contenders or 3 people in the discussion that made it, like, well, any generally 3 people getting into a group of 12 to 13 guys I was considering for this award is quite the rotation, and the Yankees should be proud of that. The last guy I'm going to talk about here is Framber Valdez of the Houston Astros. He's really coming up in a big way. 2.78 ERA and a 7-3 record to start the year for the Astros. You know, they're a team that could probably leave him out there a little longer too. 3-1 ratio to start the year. I want to see this guy keep going long, keep doing what he's doing, and that'll be how he's successful.
All right. My next tier, I'm going to be talking about some of the same guys as LJ. My next 5, this is in no particular order, but we're going Justin Verlander and Framber Valdez, the 2 Astros teammates that LJ touched on. I'm going to go Tarik Skubal of the Tigers, who's been having a super underrated year. I'm going to go Shane Bieber of the Guardians, who prior to the season, LJ said it was his Cy Young award to lose. And he's not doing, I mean, he's certainly in the contention, but not in that top group right now. And then I'm going to go Gerrit Cole to round out that tier. Yeah, you know, I guess the one guy that I should touch on a little more is Shane Bieber. LJ, you know, I think that his 2020 was so good, and it was over such a short period of time, and we were all so amazed that even when Shane Bieber is really good, like when he was for last year until he got hurt, and like he's been this year, we're still like not even impressed because we've seen so much out of him, like dating back to 2019 and 2020, where he was seemingly untouchable.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. And I don't think this is, again, necessarily bad. It's just been very, very quiet.
It's not bad. I mean, he's in my second tier of Cy Young, you know, like it's not bad at all.
Well, I was kind of embarrassed because full admittance completely, as I said, it's his awards to lose, which I really thought so. He was plenty talented for it to be his award. Especially when I wasn't fully convinced. I thought he'd be good. I didn't think he'd be Cy Young level of good. Justin Verlander, he's the only guy that would have been in this conversation. Like, this is a very young, very new Cy Young group. No?
Oh, yeah.
In the group that I'm talking about here today, Cole, Verlander, of the people that I was considering, I should say, Cole, Verlander, and Gausman would be the only guys that would have been in consideration for this in years past. But I completely, again, he fell under the radar for me, even though he was my early hype guy. And if we're talking ratio, it looks to be 2-3-4-4-1. He 100% should have been in there. But again, that's part of the beauty of it, too, is if you can't, I feel like if I can't think of him as a Cy Young contender, he shouldn't be in the conversation. Like, I shouldn't have to scour stat sites to come up with the Cy Young.
That's a great point. And you know, there is going to be, like, even me to some extent, I'm always trying to look for those guys that aren't talked about but are having super sneaky years. But at some point, it's like, you know, maybe we don't need to be so technical with our award voting. And it's like, if this guy has been talked about a lot and the general consensus is that he is a Cy Young caliber pitcher and he has a pretty good stat line to win the award, like, don't get crazy and just give him the award, right?
Yeah.
It's
more the matter of the other way around. Like, if this guy's not able to get the hype from the consensus, if he's not even able to get into the conversation by most people, then he's not doing enough. Like, you got to show, whether it's flash, whether it's a consistent run of form, you have to have some statement. And that's largely what the great starts should be the statement games. But, you know, sometimes some guys just aren't getting that billing. When was the last time you heard Shane Bieber's name in the national media? Is honestly a good point here.
Or the Guardians, for that matter, who are playing really good baseball right now and are not getting talked about nearly enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad for this. I feel weird not having him here. I want to keep it to 10, but I don't know. Brandon, make your pick. Shane Bieber or Gerrit Cole in my bottom tier? A little bit of a spoiler.
I would go Gerrit Cole.
I'm going Shane Bieber. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I don't know. If I can't remember you, if I don't immediately recognize that you should be there, then you can't be there.
Oh, LJ, I think it is time that we also do rename our stat to the Alcantara start. He's at 4.1 WAR on Baseball Reference right now.
I want to see. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, of course, but I kind of want to see how many Alcantara starts he actually has to start the year, because
he has like seven or eight in a row now.
Let's see. One, you keep going, actually. You can go through your...
Yeah, oh yeah, my last tier. All right, so this last tier is like guys that having really good seasons, but not as much talked about. Plus, but you know, there was a few guys in here that could certainly jump up a tier. That's the thing with the Cy Young Award is that like you have a good month or so, like Robbie Ray, or just a good second half, and you have like a decent stats at this point, and it could be your award. The guys I'm going to throw in here, we're going to go Logan Gilbert. We're going to go Dylan Cease, who I think has been having a really good year. And, you know, we talked about him when he was having that stretch. I think it was like early May was on a really good stretch. And he's fallen off a little bit, but it's still been excellent. Also going to throw in Sonny Gray. You know, the ERA is 2.09. Of course, injuries is always an issue with him, but can't discredit what he's done in the time he's played. Throw Frankie Montas in there as well. Thought he's been playing well. And then after that, I mean, I was kind of lost. There was like a big group of pitchers, Jameson Taillon, Luis Severino, Ohtani, Eovaldi, Nick Pivetta. You know, I think if Paul Blackburn, I should bring up Patrick Sandoval. After, you know, it's just all those guys some fit in somewhere, but I'm not exactly sure where. LJ, did I miss anybody when I was going through that big list?
Not that I could. They started to blur together a little bit in the middle there for me because I was jumping through names and thinking about the names. But I'll go ahead through mine. But yeah, I mean, look, some of these guys, I can't gravitate for an award like this towards a guy who's a product of his cumulative stats. Like,
so like Zach Wheeler last year or no?
Well, Zach Wheeler last year had a lot of like dominant performances. But if you're just having consistently really good performances without going out there and flat out winning your team a game every now and then it's less of a draw. I mean, you got to, like, again, honestly, the perfect example of this is a guy like Paul Blackburn, who he did not make my list. Granted, I will talk about who missed.
We were big Paul Blackburn guys
I was assuming he'd come in here as well, because I mean, he's not looked as favorably on Fangraphs WAR, but in terms of reference WAR, he leads the entire American League with 3.
Wow. Like,
he's having a really good year based on reference WAR. Then all of a sudden you look at his stat line, he's not going deep in games at all, which really hurts, because that's the added value of an ace, no? That's the added value of a Cy Young level pitcher, is you can rest some of your bullpen arms. You don't have to give everybody a ton of work. His ratio right now, 0-2. He's got 2 blow-up starts and no great starts to start the year, and yet he's able to get that type of WAR. He's able to put up a really good year in terms of ERA, 2.26 ERA, because he's consistently good, but he's not going deep. And I just can't justify giving those slots to guys. And so that ultimately led to some really good numbers guys down to this level or not onto my list. Outside looking in, Alek Manoah, exactly that type of guy, you know.
So tier one for me, and on your outside looking in, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's, look, great all-around numbers, but needs to go a little deeper, needs to get, I mean, he's only had 2 great performances. He's only had 2 statement games to start the year. He's got to get back up into that pack. If we're talking about Martin Perez having 6 and Sandy Alcantara having 9, I counted up, he's 9-1 right now.
LJ, I have a question, though, about your voting. Not saying that there's anything flawed with it whatsoever, but you had Jameson Taillon on your list, and because he's 8-1. Alek Manoah is 8-2 and leads the AL in ERA plus.
I'm not – I mentioned the wins. I'm saying that Jameson Taillon got into the conversation because of his wins.
Okay.
That was his entry. That was his entry card. That was his entry application. Then afterwards, it becomes entirely about these things that I've talked about that I'm looking for afterwards. And that resume of standout performances is much stronger. I mean, all right, not much stronger. It's an extra win stronger, but 3-1 is quite a difference to 2-1. That's the difference between 0.66 and 0.75.
Yeah.
So that means something, at least to me. Nick Pivetta, I wasn't expecting to put in here, because I feel like even as a Red Sox fan, I know I can be overly critical, but I still fall victim to, you look into those game logs, Brandon, and you're going to be like, how the heck is he even still in the starting rotation, let alone Cy Young winner, when you start to go through April? Because April was just bad. All of a sudden, you get to the last month and a half, and he looks like a different pitcher. This guy's currently got a 5-3 ratio. And, you know, I couldn't be happier. If he's able to keep up most of this form throughout the rest of the year, he's going to be able to move up into this, in this conversation, because a couple of other guys are going to be able to slip. And all of a sudden, those three blow up starts aren't going to mean as much to people. The last two guys here, Kevin.
Can I say something about Nick Pivetta? So if you throw those four starts in April completely out, 65 innings pitched, 2.07 ERA, 2.73 FIP, 66 strikeouts, and the Red Sox are 7-3 in the games that he pitched in. They lost all four games he pitched in April. They didn't win a single game he started in.
Exactly. And again, those types of things, that's why he's also going to struggle with the voter base. Because April is a very memorable month for baseball. You remember who was good and who was bad in April. And it sticks with you. You stink of it for the rest of the year, which is a real shame. And, you know, I'd wish it wasn't the case for him, because this is just, he's going to end up with a really good resume for this award by the end of the year at this rate. Kevin Gausman, on the other hand, not nearly as strong a resume for this award. You know, he's had a really solid season, and ultimately I wouldn't give up on him quite yet. We're talking about a guy with a 3.21 ERA over 73 innings. He's 5-6, also hurts his case. But with that being said, this is a guy who does have two great starts already. He's a guy who's repeating on a really good season from last year. Yes, it's a little bit up from there, but this is now three straight years where he's been a really good pitcher. I wouldn't be shocked to see him get hot and turn things around, especially seeing, actually, this was his entry pass was his FIP, leading the league in FIP at 174. So he has a lot of room to improve, maybe get some great starts coming up before the All-Star break or afterwards and get into that conversation. Gerrit Cole's a hot mess, I will say. No disrespect isn't intended in me saying that. It's just objectively, this dude is incredibly good. He's 6-1 on the year, 3.14 ERA, but sometimes he goes out there and just gets shelled, whereas sometimes he goes out there and actually looks like Cy Young. So, I mean, 3-2 record. Him, Nick Pivetta, and Gerrit Cole are the only people with multiple blow-up starts that got put into this conversation. He's above the ratio line. So, you know, he's had a good start to the year for Gerrit Cole. He needs to have a great back half to win his first Cy Young.
All right. Well.
Oh wait. Before we get off, I know I keep getting away from things. Just to mention a couple guys that didn't make my list that I wanted to get in there: Logan Gilbert, Michael Kopech, and Paul Blackburn were the only guys that missed. All guys
wanting to get Michael Kopech on his list. No way.
Are you that surprised? He deserves to be in this.
No, he's been good. He's been really good.
He's been very good. He just hasn't gone deep. And that's ultimately what hurt him. You know, you get a couple blow up starts in there, and then only being able to go five innings most of the time, not sticking with him long enough, has really hurt his case for that.
All right. Well, anything else, or are we good?
I think we're all set.
All right. Thank you for listening. Check us out. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at MLB Daily Pod. We'll see you.
See you mañana.